Maps are really cool. They can be interesting because of how they look, because of the methods they use, or because of data they represent, or all three. In this video, I want to share with you a few interesting and historical maps that I have come across online. Let's jump right into it, starting as usual with the one on the thumbnail. If you look at it with absolutely no context, it looks really weird. You can see the US states, at least the 48 continental ones, but they're in the wrong shapes and sizes. This is because this map represents the horsepower of America in the year of 1933. By horsepower, I'm pretty sure they meant the industrial power slash production that each state had. So the states with more industrial capacity are represented by a bigger area. And it's very interesting because we can identify some regional trends. The North was, at least at the time, clearly more industrialized, especially in the Northeast. Pennsylvania seems to be the biggest, followed by New York, Ohio, and Illinois, with New Jersey, Massachusetts, Indiana, Michigan, and California following. While other states, perhaps focused more on agriculture, back then still, get very slim results in industry like the Carolinas, Florida, Arkansas, Colorado, or Arizona. These days, the map would certainly look very different, especially because industry isn't as big as it once was, or rather, there's a whole new sector of business that emerged. Services, a lot of them rendered through the internet. Speaking of internet, let's look at this second map, which shows us Europe, with the average internet speed by country in 2020. Two countries have the fastest internet connection in Europe, according to this: Switzerland and Romania. Next are the ones in green: Portugal, Spain, France, Hungary, the Netherlands, Scandinavia, Latvia, Lithuania, and most of the micro states. The Vatican is blank though, so we don't know how fast the Pope is accessing the internet. Finland surprised me because I thought they had really good internet for some reason, and it's sad that Estonia falls behind their Baltic brothers, landing in the yellow category, although the majority of Europe is in the yellow. In the red slash orange are the countries with the least fast internet, all of them in the Balkans, such as Croatia, Bosnia, and Greece, as well as Cyprus and Turkey. Turkey, Cyprus, Northern Macedonia, and Albania apparently get the worst results. And it's a big difference when we look at the slowest compared to the fastest. I mean, at 152 megabits per second, the Swiss and Romanians get about 5 times the internet speed of the Turks or Greeks. European maps are interesting to look at because they're able to translate some very big regional differences. Just like we saw here with the internet speed in the Balkans being on average a bit slower, we can look at this other map and identify the Iberian Peninsula and the Baltic as having way less railroads. This is a map of Europe's railroad network in 2019. We can see incredible networks and hubs of train tracks in Central Europe, especially in France, the Benelux, Switzerland, Germany, and North Italy, with Hungary and Austria also doing pretty well, along with Czechia and Slovakia. Scandinavia does okay, and the UK also does pretty well, although most of them seem to be concentrated in England, while other regions fall behind. Ireland has little to no tracks, Norway actually doesn't have that many either, now that I look at it, and the Iberian Peninsula also falls behind, especially when compared to Central Europe. Since these last two were modern maps with modern data, let's go back in time again. This is a map from the 1960s, which aimed to predict what Africa would look like in the 21st century. It's interesting because it assumed a few things that ended up not happening. First, it assumed that Portugal and Spain would still have colonies, since they were taking so long to follow the example of other European powers and decolonize. But it also organized the rest of the African territory differently. The Maghreb is pretty accurate, but whoever made the map conceptualized the idea of a United States of Africa, consisting of all these countries, perhaps some type of federalized state. It also didn't consider the existence of Eswatini, Lesotho, or Namibia, attributing all of that territory to South Africa. It saw Madagascar as being called Malgash, and also didn't imagine Eritrea and Somaliland as being independent. These countries in red would also be part of the Commonwealth as full governing members, something that isn't too far from reality. Not that it's the case with all of these specific countries, but the Commonwealth does exist, and it does have full governing members across the world in the areas of former British colonies. Speaking of colonies, we have the example of a Portuguese one on the next map. Before Sri Lanka was independent, it belonged to the British. Before that, to the Dutch, but the first Europeans to arrive and establish a colony there were the Portuguese. This is a map of the island of Ceylon depicting the greatest extent of Portuguese rule from 1597 to 1658. They were able to rule a big part of the island from their colonial capital of Colombo. We can see their area of control slash influence in red. It's important to say influence as well because a big part of the island, especially in the north, wasn't actually under direct Portuguese rule, but instead under the rule of local leaders who accepted being vassals of the Portuguese. It seems Colombo was the only fortified city, while other ones, the large and small red dots, were only forts. We should also pay attention to the fact that the biggest local kingdom, the kingdom of Kandy, also didn't control the rest of the island entirely. And in the east, there were vassal states of them as well. Although apparently the Portuguese were able to make two incursions and rule a little bit of land in the east through these two forts. Portuguese colonialism is interesting because in its early stages at least, it worked very much on the basis of feitorias, small to medium fortresses that served as both military and commercial outposts. Their rule and influence in the areas came from there, and it was also there that they traded and stored their goods. And despite being small, they sometimes were real small cities inside. In this map, we can see one of them and sort of a blueprint of it. In the text, we can identify some of the buildings. They had a government palace, a church, bridges, areas dedicated to religion and priests, buildings for the military, a quarry, and walls and defenses, as well as storage space, access to ships and docks. In this case, it seems it was also surrounded by farmlands. For the next map, let's go back to the US. This is a map of American Indian history. Now, there are a lot of details in the text, but most of it is too small to read anyway. So let's focus on the map itself. We can see a depiction of the continental United States. In red are the Indian reservations, which existed in the year of 1990. A larger amount than I honestly expected, especially in Arizona. And it's interesting because we can see pretty much, if not actually, zero reserves in the eastern part of the country, while the west still maintained some. I imagine this is because the Europeans arrived in the east. Up top, we see a territorial evolution of Native American rule of the land. They ruled all of it, although through different tribes, until the arrival of the Europeans who attacked them and conquered their lands. By 1790, they had been forced inland to abandon the northeast. By 1830, all of the eastern part of the country and the east coast was taken. And I think this justifies the current absence of Indian reserves in those regions, because they were forced to leave them so long ago. By 1890, we had pretty much the same scenario as depicted in the 1990 map, with only small reservations, which became even small in the following 100 years. The map points out 2090 as the date to look out to, as it might mean a full disappearance of native reserves. Speaking of the Europeans arriving in America, what if they hadn't? This is a made-up map, obviously, but I found it to be pretty interesting. It puts forward the made-up idea of America, both North and South, as a continent not existing, and how European colonialism would have initially looked if that hadn't been the case. It still includes the Caribbean for some reason. In this scenario, the French, but especially the British colonial empire, would risk not existing, because they started maritime exploration and colonizing fairly later than the first European countries to do so, Portugal and Spain. Instead of arriving in the Americas, the two Iberian kingdoms would have arrived in East Asia. They would have perhaps settled in the Caribbean, which in this scenario were off the coast of Japan to the south for some reason, and could have used that as a starting point for their colonization of Oceania, with Portugal colonizing Papua New Guinea and Northern Australia as New Algarve, the Solomon Islands being called Southern Azores, and Spain taking South Australia and New Zealand. In this scenario, the Dutch would also have managed to colonize part of Australia, as some argue they actually may have discovered it, while the British would colonize part of Siberia and a few Pacific Islands. The French would only take a part of Malaysia and their Caribbean possessions. Another map that points out European differences well is this one, where we can see the percentage of power used by each country, which comes from their own production of wind and solar power. The top 5 countries are Denmark, the only one who managed to cover over half of its power consumption with clean energy, then Ireland, Germany, Portugal, and Spain, while others fall very much behind. The UK and Greece are good, almost reaching 25%. Lithuania is signaled at 39% on the map, but doesn't show up in the top 5. I'm not sure which is an error, the value, or it not showing up in the top 5. While the others do kind of poorly, Czechia, Slovakia, Hungary, Norway, and Switzerland don't even reach 5%, and many of the Balkans seem to actually have 0% in solar or wind power. France really surprised me negatively, having only 8%. And finally, this map of the city of Venice, which has no other point to it than how fascinating it is to me, that the entire city just exists on an island, and that its buildings and infrastructures go to the very edge of it. Oh, and it also looks like Patrick off of SpongeBob. So those are a few interesting and historical maps that I found and wanted to share with you. If you want more videos about maps, just let me know in the comments, and subscribe if you want to catch future videos. Thanks for watching, and I will see you next time for more general knowledge.